Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conducting Conversations. It's a pleasure to welcome back to our studio John Dreslin. He is the music director for the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Welcome back, John.
Oh, it's so good to come back once again, Michael. Always enjoy our time together.
It's fun to find out everything I ever wanted to know about Gilbert and Sullivan. Before the show started today, you told me that there are, in fact, 13 and maybe even more than that pieces by Gilbert and Sullivan, which I was not aware of. So you always bring me new information, and we're going to find out today about this year's presentation by your group, and that's going to be the Mikado. It's going to take place on Saturday, October 13th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 14th at 2 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center at Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut. And, John, it's always fun to find out things that I don't know, and that's a lot. And you're one of those guys that has all kinds of information like that. According to your bio, this is your 32nd season with Gilbert and Sullivan. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Wow. I've been a music director for 29 of them. The first three seasons, I served as a rehearsal accompanist.
Mm-hmm. So you play, obviously, very well if you can accompany a group like that. But that's, you're not a professional musician from your life was not made by playing the piano, right?
No, I'm a retired dentist. I worked as a dentist for almost 40 years. People ask me if I miss it, and I say, not a bit.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, I have one of those jobs that I just absolutely love, and I think I would miss this if I didn't have the opportunity to do it, but it's always great. And let's talk a little bit about the company itself. This is a group that meets all year long or just seasonally, or how does that work?
It's basically a seasonal group. We do one big production. It's in October. As you mentioned, the dates are going to be October 13th and 14th this year. But basically, we do our auditions in say late spring, May or June, and then we rehearse throughout the summer and then present the show in October. And after that, we sort of lay low for a while. There's still a board of directors that meets and does planning for the next year, but as far as actively rehearsing or get together during the winter, we pretty much lay low.
There you go. All right. And this takes place, I mentioned, at Deep River, Connecticut. And tell us just whereabouts is Deep River.
Okay. Deep River is it's off of Route 9 in Connecticut. Basically, it's a little bit north of Old Saybrook. Most people know where Old Saybrook is.
Yeah.
And Deep River is north of Saybrook, north of Essex, and the exit ford off of Route 9 is, I think it's exit 5 or exit 6.
All right.
It's easy to get to.
Just north. See, you have to talk Rhode Island language here. And in Rhode Island, we would have said, just north of where the Essex tolls used to be. Back in the day. All right. So now we have a general idea of the area we're talking about. And one more thing personally about you. We've had you on the show for several years now.
And this is my fourth, believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always great to have you back. And you told me a little tidbit about yourself personally that I found very interesting. You've just recently come back from what you called a Gilbert and Sullivan sing, near Washington, D.C., right?
That's correct. Town of Rockville, Maryland. It's a sing out. It occurs once every 5 years. This is the sixth time that they've done it. I've been to all six, so I was a lot younger when they had the first one. And what we do is we sing through all 13 of the Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, and there is a 14th one as well that most of the music has been lost except for two numbers, and so they started the festival singing the two numbers that still exist, mm-hmm. and then over the course of 3 days, we sang through, with piano accompaniment, all the other 13. I conducted one, and I accompanied one. So, and I sang in the chorus for the rest of them.
There you go. Well, that sounds like a busy weekend. I'm sure after you sing for a little while, everyone just goes back to their hotel room and rests and sleeps, takes care of their voice. There's no carousing. There's no gathering of any kind. Is that true?
Well, no, there really isn't.
No?
It goes pretty late each evening.
So there's no singing around the adult beverage bar.
Well, if there is, I did not take part in that part.
All right, we'll leave that part alone. Let's get to Gilbert and Sullivan and find out a little bit about them. And most people know the names, but most people don't know a whole lot about who they were.
Well, Gilbert is the guy who wrote the book. And he was a lawyer by profession, and then he got into doing comic stories, and then eventually he got into writing plays, mostly comedies. And Sullivan was the composer, and he was a very prominent composer at his time, even before he joined up with Gilbert. He wrote one symphony, he wrote one grand opera, he wrote a great cello concerto, but what they're mainly known for is their collaboration. They lived in Victorian times, and I said they wrote 14 things together. They called them operas. We now call them operettas, but they considered them operas. And they were both successful in their own areas before they got together, but what they're really remembered for are those collaborations they did together. The three most well-known ones are HMS Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, and the one that we're doing this year, the Mikado.
Right. Most people do know of those three, at least. And what are some of the others that come to mind?
Well, last year we did Princess Ida,
and
which was the immediate predecessor to Mikado. There's also one called Yeoman of the Guard, which is very operatic. Gondoliers was very popular in its time. Queen Victoria especially loved Gondoliers and had a command performance at Windsor Castle of Gondoliers, and then there's a few others.
Interesting. All right. Well, why don't we get to a piece of music and tell us what we're going to open up with here.
Well, I wanted to hear what our group actually sounds like. So I've brought a couple of selections that were actually recorded in one of our performances. In this case, they're both selections from HMS Pinafore. The first one is the well-known trio Nevermind the Why and Wherefore.
Let's give it a listen.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can level ranks, and therefore, though his lordship stations mighty, though stupendous be his brain, though her tastes are mean and flighty, and her fortunes poor and plain. Ring the merry bells and lordship, blend ye with warring wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter,
and the lord who knows the water,
and the tar who plows the quarter.
Let the air with joy be laden, and the songs the air above, for the union of a maiden with a man who holds her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can tell the ranks, and therefore, though you naughty congregation in my set could scarcely pop, though you occupy a station in the lower middle class.
Ring the merry bells on lordship, blend the air with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter. captain's daughter.
And the Lord rules the water.
Let the air rejoice, the maiden, bring the songs the air upon. For the union of the maiden, be the man of the
never mind the why and wherefore love can never end, and therefore I admit to jurisdiction. Amy, have you played your part? You have carried from conviction to my hesitating heart.
Ring the merry bells and watch it blend the air with warming wild. For the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child. For a humble captain's daughter.
For a gallant captain's daughter.
And the Lord rules the water.
And the tar will love the water.
What?
Let's hear it join,
ring the merry bells on board ship.
For the union of the maiden.
For my union with this lordship.
Bring the songs the air above.
For a man who won't turn up.
Bring the songs the air above.
For a man who won't turn up.
Obviously a live performance that the audience seemed to enjoy. So the musicians that are involved with your group, are they all professional musicians, or how do you find them?
Most of them actually are amateurs, although a lot of them are graduates of conservatories and music schools. Our orchestra, which you heard, is very good. They're all professionals. We use a 23-piece orchestra. And we use Sullivan's original scoring, one of the few groups still using the Sullivan scoring. A lot of other groups have had to cut back because of budgetary reasons and only use reduced orchestras. But we still use the full orchestra that Sullivan imagined. Our next selection is the aria, The Hours Creep On Apace, once again from our 2012 production of HMS Pinafore. The soprano here is Catherine Bowden, who went on this year to sing the Queen of the Night in the Metropolitan Opera production of The Magic Flute. So wow. We do get some good people.
Yeah, I guess so. That's great. That's great that you have that caliber performing with you. And so we want to listen to that. And then we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society's presentation of the Mikado. And you'll get to hear that music in the next segment.
Simple sailor, I would, a letter to
Gilbert and Sullivan is the story for today on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and having a great evening sitting with John Dreslin, who is the music director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. And we're talking about the Mikado that is going to be coming up on October 13th, Saturday, at 2 o'clock and 7:30 in the evening, and Sunday, October 14th at 2 o'clock, at the Performing Arts Center at Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut. And the group is going to be performing this. You can get tickets by calling 860-554-1256 or visit the website, which is very easy to remember. It's CT, obviously for Connecticut, GANDS, Gilbert and Sullivan. There you go. .org. So CTGANDS.org. So make sure you catch the Mikado. And if you're lucky enough to be one of the first 50 people in the door, John will shake hands with you and give you an autographed picture or a bobblehead or something, something. But at least you'll say hello to them, right?
Yes, I will.
All right, there we go. We got something out of it. All right, that's great. Well, let's get back to our story. We listened to Not Mikado in that first segment, but I must comment that you had that person singing that you mentioned who went on to great fame. And it was interesting that it was a Catherine, I think, that you mentioned.
Catherine Bowden, yes.
Right? Quite a voice there that got to perform with you. And that's the caliber of the people that you have singing in the leading roles. So that's a great thing. Let's pick up where we left off and more about the performances.
Okay. Well, one thing that we do use is we use super titles projected above the stage so that even the hearing impaired people, such as myself, as a matter of fact, can understand the lyrics, because in Gilbert and Sullivan, sometimes you have some very rapid lyrics. But with the super titles, you're able to follow along just what's going on. Also, the theater is fully handicapped accessible, and it's climate controlled, so it's a very, very nice performance space.
Excellent. All right. That's always good news, making the creature comforts for the audience much better. That's a good thing. So, all right. So, you also have full sets and costumes that are used?
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very colorful costumes. I've seen the ones that we're going to be using this year, and they are indeed very impressive.
Great, John. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Mikado itself?
Well, the Mikado was Gilbert and Sullivan's ninth collaboration and premiered in 1885. And it has a very interesting, unusual history, which is very nicely dramatized in the movie Topsy Turvy, which came out several years ago. It followed on the heels of Princess Ida, which incidentally was our production last year, so it's almost like we're doing them in order here. Sullivan and Gilbert were having a falling out because Gilbert had come forward with some plots involving supernatural occurrences, and Sullivan did not want to set a story dealing with supernatural. So he insisted that it be grounded in reality. At this point, there was a Japanese exhibition going on outside of London, which Gilbert attended. And he was so stricken with the culture of Japan that was on display that he immediately got to work using Japan as his backdrop. So the show opens with the Japanese characters scurrying around singing the opening chorus of the men, "If You Want to Know Who We Are."
Well, we'll listen to that.
Thank you.
So, John, is the entire opera set in Japan? Is that the way that works?
The opera is set in Japan, but it's not a Japan of reality. As usual, the point of the story is a satire on Victorian England, which is a point that a lot of listeners miss, that this is not supposed to be an actual realistic Japan. He treated his Japanese setting in a respectful manner, though. He went so far as to hire some of the girls from that Japanese exhibition that I mentioned earlier to teach the performers how to walk, bow, and manage a fan in authentic Japanese manner. But that is not should not lead you to believe that this is actually a story that could have taken place in Japan.
Okay, I get it now. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But back to the story. On the scene comes a roving musician named Nanki Poo, who introduces himself with one of the most beloved tenor solos in the whole Gilbert and Sullivan canon that's familiar to a lot of people. It's called A Wandering Minstrel Eye.
A wandering minstrel eye, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby. My catalogue is long, through every passion ranging, and to your humours changing, I tune my supple song, I tune my song.
Okay, where do we go next in the storyline?
Well, it turns out that Nanki Poo is not really a wandering musician. He is actually the son of the Mikado, who is the ruler of Japan. And he is in disguise. He's come to town in search of the beautiful Yum Yum, who is engaged to a local tailor by the name of Coco. But Coco had been condemned to death for flirting, which under the Mikado's law is a capital offense. Unfortunately, Nanki Poo learns that the townspeople have chosen to object to the Mikado's law against flirting by promoting Coco to the position of Lord High Executioner. So Yum Yum is not really available for marriage at this point. At this point, she and her sisters appear upon the scene with the delightful trio, Three Little Maids from School, which I've listened to since I was a child. Always has been one of my favorites.
I think we have time for one more piece before we take our next break. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, although Yum Yum is engaged to the Lord High Executioner, she much prefers Nanki Poo. But this love, as I said, seems hopeless. But a reprieve seems possible when Coco receives word that Mikado is coming to town to find out why no executions have taken place since Coco has become Lord High Executioner. Since Coco himself is the first on the list of people to be executed and doesn't wish to attempt to cut off his own head, he searches for a substitute but is rebuffed by several of his companions, which is described in these trio, which has lots of great counterpoint called I Am So Proud.
Okay, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
I am so proud, if I allowed my family pride to be my guide. I volunteer to quit this sphere instead of you in a minute or two. But family pride must be denied and set aside and mortified and mortified.
My brain it teems with endless schemes, both good and new, for titty poo, but if I flit the benefit that I diffuse, the town would lose. Now every man to aid his clan shall plot and plan as best he can.
I heard one day a gentleman say that criminals who are cut in two can hardly feel the fatal steel, and so are slain without much pain. If this is true, it's surely for you, your courage's true to bid us adieu. I am so proud,
my brain
if
teemed
with
endless schemes,
both good and
new, for titty poo, but if I think the benefit that I choose, the town would lose. Now every man to aid his clan should hunt and plan as best he can. And so, although I'm ready to go, yet recollect what disrespected I neglect to thus effect this aim direct. So I object,
and so, although I wish to go and greatly pine to brightly shine and take the line of a hero fine with grief or dine, I must decline. And oh, and show both friend and foe how much you dare and quite aware it's your affair. Yet I declare I take your share, but I don't much care.
I must reject,
to sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark dock, in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock, not a tippy-tippy chopper, not a big black block. To sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark dock, in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock, not a tippy-tippy chopper, not a big black block. A dull, dark dock, a lifelong lock, a short, sharp shock, a big black block. To sit in solemn silence in a pestilential prison, and awaiting the sensation of a tippy-tippy chopper, not a big
The Mikado, subject of today's conducting conversation, going to be performed by the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. It's going to happen on Saturday, October 13th at 2 o'clock and 7:30 p.m., and on Sunday, October 14th at 2 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center at Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut. And you can get tickets by going to the website, which is ctgands.org, Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society.org. Okay, so ctgands.org. Make sure you check that out. And you can also get tickets and information the old-fashioned way by calling 860-554-1256. So don't miss that. It's going to be coming up in just about 3 weeks, and John Dreslin is here, the music director, and we've been having a very pleasant evening finding out about the Mikado. Let's pick up where we left off.
Okay, and I also just want to mention that there is a discount if you get your tickets in advance, and also there's a 10% discount for groups of 10 or more, so get your friends together and bring them down.
Excellent. All right, so check that out. That information is on the website also, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, great. All right.
Well, back to where we left off. Nanki Poo is in despair since he can't marry Yum Yum, and he has decided he's going to terminate his own life. And Coco comes upon him as he is attempting to hang himself, and they make a deal. Since Coco needs somebody to execute, and Nanki Poo no longer wants to live without Yum Yum, they make a deal that for a month, Nanki Poo will marry Yum Yum. And they will be husband and wife for a month, after which Nanki Poo will allow himself to be beheaded at Coco's hand, therefore fulfilling the requirement of having an execution done. Yum Yum will then be a widow, and Coco will then at last be able to marry her. So we go to the second act at this point, and Yum Yum is preparing for her wedding by singing the aria "The Sun Whose Rays," which just happens to be my wife's favorite number in all of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Thank you.
It appears that all is going to plan at this point in time. Is that correct?
That's right. Everything is going along smoothly. And then, unfortunately, it is discovered that according to the Mikado's law, when a married man is beheaded for flirting, his wife must be buried alive. And, of course, they say this law has never been put into effect, the reason being that married men never flirt, which we all know to be true, correct? Well, this idea does not appeal to Yum Yum at all. She decides that the wedding is off. And so they're in the midst of a new dilemma because the Mikado is also approaching the town. And so there's confusion reigns, and there's a very cute little short trio, which is, by the way, encored several times, called Here's a Howdy-Do.
To perish, then the men whom you cherish must be slaughtered too. Here's a howdy-do, here's a howdy-do.
Here's a pretty mess, in a month or less. I must die without a wedding, let the bitter tears I'm shedding witness my distress. Here's a pretty mess, here's a pretty mess.
Here's a state of things, to her life she clings. Matrimonial devotion doesn't seem to suit her notion. Burial it brings, here's a state of things, here's a state of things.
With the passion that's intense, I worship and adore. But the laws of common sense we ought to ignore. If what he says is true, 'tis death to marry you. Here's a pretty state of things, here's a pretty howdy-do. Here's a pretty state of things, a pretty state of things.
Here's a howdy-do, here's a howdy-do.
For if what he says is true,
I cannot marry you.
Here's a pretty, pretty state of things.
Here's a pretty howdy-do.
John, that song seems like a very typical Gilbert and Sullivan type of what I was expecting. The rapid fire, the up and down, it's great. So let's continue with the story.
Well, as I said, at this point, the Mikado is approaching the town, and something's got to be done at once. So Nanki Poo, he's willing to be beheaded to save the situation, but it turns out that Coco, the Lord High Executioner, is too tender-hearted to behead anybody. And so it is decided that to fulfill the Mikado's wishes, he will just fill out an affidavit attesting that the execution has taken place. And at this point, the Mikado arrives and sings a famous song on how he deals with criminals that's so often quoted. It's called A More Humane Mikado, and he likes to make the punishments for the prisoners very entertaining.
All right. Well, thank you for the recap of the story. We'll listen to that in a moment. I just want to get in one more time the fact that the Mikado is going to be performed on Saturday, October 13th at 2 and 7:30, and on Sunday, October 14th at 2 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center at Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut. Website is ctgands.org, or you can call 860-554-1256. John, thanks so much for coming in tonight. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to come back. I hope to see you again next year.
Absolutely. And the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
A more humane Mikado never did in Japan exist. To nobody second, I'm certainly reckoned a true philanthropist. It is my very humane endeavor to make to some extent each evil liver a running river of harmless merriment. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make his prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. Dull society sinners who chatter and prate and bore are sent to hear sermons from mystical Germans who preach from 10 till 4. The amateur tenor whose vocal villainies all desire to shirk shall during off hours exhibit his powers to Madame Tussaud's waxwork. The lady who dyes a chemical yellow or stains her grey hair blue, her skin shall be tinted and thereon imprinted a suitably wrought tattoo. The idiot who in railway carriages scribbles on window panes, we only suffer to ride on a buffer in parliamentary trains. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime
advertising quack who wearies with tales of countless cures, his teeth I've enacted shall all be extracted by terrified amateurs. The musical singer attends a series of masses and fugues and ops, by Bach interwoven with Spohr and Beethoven at classical Monday pops. The billiard sharp whom anyone catches, his doom's extremely hard, he's made to dwell in a dungeon cell on a spot that's always barred, and there he plays extravagant matches in fitless finger stalls on a cloth untrue with a twisted cue and elliptical billiard balls. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time, to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pant, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.